Bible reading for this morning is taken from Psalm 18. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I called to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me, the torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be God, my Saviour. So today we're continuing our theme of whole life discipleship. And as Pam mentioned earlier on, we're talking about whole life worship. And all our songs and readings this morning have pointed to us worshipping God in different ways. Many of you will have watched the concert, won't you, for the Queen's Platinum anniversary. And when we go to a concert, what do we do? Do we just sit there with our hands folded and just watch it happen? No. At the end, what do we tend to do? We tend to clap, don't we? To show our appreciation. If you've been out for a wonderful meal, you'll say thank you and you'll express praise, maybe to the servers or maybe to the chef. If you see... My intention was to show you a cracking goal from 2 weeks ago. But unfortunately, it had to be a few years ago. But did you see the celebrations there? And I was one of those celebrating. We clap or we cheer. I've only got to look at this man and I start laughing. And if we hear a good joke, we laugh. And so just as laughter is an appropriate response to a good joke, so worship is an appropriate response to God for who he is and for his love for each one of us. Now, I don't know if you noticed, right at the beginning of our reading there, David puts, he says this, he talks about love, and he says, I love you, Lord. Now, I don't know what you know about David, but David was primarily a soldier, a very hardened battle leader. And you'd think for somebody like that, it might not be very macho to say, I love you, Lord. But for David, that was his response to God for all that God had done for him. I love you, Lord. It was his response of worship. And as we go through our sermon this morning, hopefully we'll see that God is interested in every part of our lives and he wants all of our lives to be a worship to him. So whole life worship. As I said, David was a soldier who had fought many battles and won battles. You remember maybe from Sunday school days, David and Goliath, another big battle, one which he had no chance of winning, but God was on his side and God helped him. And I'm sure that David would remember experiences like that, how God was his help. And because he was a soldier, it's not surprising that some of the descriptions he gives about God's protection relate to battle. And you can have a look at one or two of those this morning, not in any great detail. Some of them are quite self-explanatory. But we can take on board some of the things that David says about God, because we talk about the characteristics of God and how God has protected him in his life and he protects us. The first one, I got Pam to take a photo of me this morning. God is my strength. Let me tell you a little secret. When I was at secondary school, very early on in secondary school, I'd gone into the gym and I'd seen the weights there. So I thought, I'm going to have a go at lifting these. So I got down and I lifted and I could only get them to there and I had to put them down. And then I realised there were no weights on and that was just a bar. So strength for me has never been a big thing. I often wanted to be part of the competition, Mr. Universe. And I've ended up going into Mr. Puniverse. Yesterday, Pam and I were out for a coffee. And who should be sat there but Errol Crabtree. Now, for people who don't know who he is, he was a rugby player who just retired, played for Huddersfield Giants. And he was sat there in his shorts. I don't normally look at men in shorts, but his legs were so thick and the muscles on him, the strength that he had. And his strength had obviously come from lifting the weights that I couldn't lift. But David says, my strength is in the Lord. And I wonder if we can identify with that, because sometimes we don't always feel very strong and we feel weak. But David recognized God as his strength. And that's one of the characteristics of our Lord. He is our strength. David also mentioned the Lord is my rock. In times of trouble, we feel a little bit shaky with life circumstances, and maybe as we look back over this last few years, it's always good to know that God is our rock, someone who is extremely strong and mighty, someone to whom we can hold on to when we feel the earth moving. And there's no one we can trust more than the Lord. For David, the rock would be a hiding place where he could hide from his enemies. And so that was very meaningful to him. The Lord is my fortress. When the word fortress refers to a person, it means that that person is not susceptible to outside influence or disturbance. So nobody can get at that person. And God is our mighty fortress. No one is more powerful than our God. This one, my deliverer. I've been looking at pictures and I put my deliverer on and it fetched a pizza man up, fetching a pizza in. But I think this is a bit more accurate. At my deliverer. God delivers us from evil. Remember the story of Daniel, how God delivered Daniel from in the lion's den. He was not physically delivered, but God took the danger away by shutting the mouths of the lions. we think about Jesus as being our deliverer, how he delivers us from the penalty of sin. Because each one of us, the Bible says, deserves to die for our sins. But Jesus has paid the price for our sins, and he's paid for the power of sin, that sin might no longer have control over us. You know, one day you and I will be in a new heaven where there will be no sin and where righteousness dwells, all because the Lord Jesus is our deliverer. This one I like. God is my God. Can you remember Thomas when he saw Jesus and he said, "My Lord and my God"? We spoke a few weeks about Psalm 23, about the Lord being my shepherd, someone who we can call on day or night at any time. The Lord is my God. The Lord is my refuge, a place of safety from danger or distress. It's like finding a safe place in a storm. And when we're in a storm in our lives, the Lord is the one that we can go to. Sometimes we focus on what's happening around us and we take our eyes off the Lord. But we need to come back to him. We can find safety with him. And just a couple more. The Lord is my shield. Now to David, that would be very important. He had a shield which would stop the arrows coming and killing him. But we too have a shield, and God is our shield. We're told to put on the whole armor of God, aren't we? And God protects us. The good thing is that we learn that the Spirit of God who is in us is greater than the enemy who seeks to bring us down. And this is an unusual one. God, the horn of my salvation. Have you ever seen, being up close to an animal like that? You wouldn't like to get too close, would you? The horns are his or her big strength. That's how they defend themselves. And the horn of my salvation talks about Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. And it's a promise of future protection for believers. And finally, the Lord is my stronghold. Again, a bit like being fortified and protected against attack. So the lesson that we need to learn this morning from the psalm is that God is our protector, and all these characteristics are there for us to draw on. Now, you might say that's fine for David, who was a soldier and in battle. How does that apply to me? Well, I'd like to suggest that God not only protects us, but God knows us and he cares for us. As followers of Jesus, we serve a God who is never surprised by what you and I face every day. God is so sovereign that he knows all about panic and pandemics and chaos and confusion. And he is with us no matter what we face. He knows all the things that are worrying you this morning. And he wants to be a part of that. We saw earlier about David referring to God as my God. And we can know the same God who is interested in you and I, not in a general way, but in a personal way, because he's my God, he's your God. And he wants to be a part of everything that we do and everything that we face. He is in that situation. Can I give you just a couple of examples of that, how God is in everything? These are from a couple of weeks ago. But the trivial matters, well, one of them trivial, one maybe not so trivial. My brother-in-law, Steve, had had some health situations, a health problem, and not had very much energy, and he was feeling very down. And all of a sudden he got an email from Zambia, from one of his students that he taught 40 years ago, which was sent at 5:30 in the morning to say, "I'm just thinking about you, Steve. Thank you for all that you've done for us, pointing us to God and pointing many of your students to God. And I'm just praying for you, I want to let you know." 5:30 in the morning in Zambia. And God had put that on her heart to send to Steve, and that lifted his spirit up. And it's amazing that God can organise something way across the other side of the world to carry out his purposes. Another trivial thing, for us on holiday, we've got a caravan. And on Sunday night, the key got stuck in the caravan door, so we couldn't lock the door. In fact, we couldn't shut the door. So what are we going to do? Sunday night, 10 o'clock. Fortunately, I managed to wedge the door shut from the inside, but that meant for the rest of the holiday, we couldn't go out because we couldn't leave the door open, and the weather and the rain were getting. What am I going to do? We've been recommended a mobile caravan person to come and have a look. Rang him. I'm on holiday for 4 weeks. So I went on the internet and found somebody local. Rang him. "Well, yes, but I can't come for a week. I need someone there pretty quick." But he said, "I'll give you another number. Try this number, and this guy may be able to help you out." I rang the guy, and by 1 o'clock that day, it was sorted out and fixed. Trivial little things. I won't tell you how it got fixed. Well, I will tell you. Somebody came the night before and had a quick brattle round, and then I sprayed a load of WD-40 on it, but I didn't put the key back on it in case it got stuck again. This guy travelled 20 miles or so, twiddles with it, and it worked. 20 quid. But I was thankful that God had sent somebody to sort that problem out for us. And that seemed a trivial thing. But God is even concerned in those small trivial things that we face day by day. God is not so busy running the universe that he doesn't have time for our petty worries. He tells us to cast all our problems and anxieties on him. Why? Because God cares for you. He cares about you. He cares about your children and your grandchildren. He cares about you and your job. He cares about your finances. He cares about your church. He cares about everything in our lives. And so we need to take heart that God cares for us. And we encourage to cast our cares on him, not to carry our cares for ourselves. If we allow God to work in every part of our lives, then like David, our response will be a response of worship to God. And finally, we read that God answers our prayers. David was facing a very difficult situation. He was facing a situation where he feared for his very life. "In my distress," he says, "I called to the Lord. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of the deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me." David had been sought by Saul, who had tried to kill him with a spear twice. He'd been running away from David for 10 years. I'm not surprised he was frightened for his life. And yet, in his distress, he called to the Lord. And that's an important lesson that David had to learn. Throughout the course of his life, he can always trust God and call on him. And maybe that's a lesson for each one of us this morning. No matter what we are going through, we can always trust God and call on him and know that he will answer our prayers. We sometimes feel as though we are drowning in a sea of sorrow, submerged by all our problems. Maybe like Peter walking on the water, we sometimes take our eyes off God and begin to sink. But God reaches out for us and pulls us up. So in concluding, may we be encouraged that God strengthens us. May we be challenged in our self-reliance and self-dependence to move to depending on God, so that we can rely on the God who strengthens us. And may we call him our rock, our fortress, our deliverer, and our strength. Amen.